Is famine in our future? That is the question posed by the next issue of the New American Magazine. Let's take a look. This is Beyond the Cover with your host, Gary Benoit, and today we have with us William F. Jasper, a senior editor for the New American Magazine. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gary. Always a pleasure.
Now, Bill, the upcoming issue, which is dated June 13, has a series of articles regarding the possibility of famine, not just globally, but also in the United States of America. And you wrote two of those articles that comprise part of the package, including the main cover story article entitled Feast to Famine. Bill, I'd like to start off with the title itself. Is that hyperbole, or is famine a real possibility? And is it a real possibility specifically in the United States of America?
Well, yes, that's a very sobering title, and it for many people would seem unbelievable, except for some of the warning signs that we've already started experiencing, most specifically with the baby food, baby formula shortage. But what we look at in this article is a whole series of issues that have all come together, unprecedented. We've never had all of these things, about a dozen things that are very concerning, that are all coming together, that indicate that, yes, here in the land of plenty, where we've always had plenty of food, we may indeed be facing famine. And we had better take some very direct actions at the policy level and at the personal level to make sure that this doesn't happen.
Okay, but what are the factors to begin with? And let's start with what the Biden administration is saying, because Biden has pointed to Putin. In fact, even Donald Trump is being responsible for the supply shortages, for the high prices and fuel, which obviously has an impact on the price of food. How responsible is Putin, and what are some of the other factors?
Well, we look at that in the articles that we deal with. First of all, Putin is being saddled with this for everything. President Biden says that what we're experiencing in inflation, what we're experiencing in fuel shortages, everything is the fault of Vladimir Putin. We at the New American have never been apologists for Putin. In fact, while the rest of the world, including most of the both Republicans and Democrats here in the United States, were singing his praises, we were pointing out that no, Putin is a lifelong KGB guy, he's not to be trusted, etc. However, let's look at the facts. The war in Ukraine is definitely impacting a number of factors that we discuss in our articles. It's affecting fuel prices because the natural gas that is cut off, not only natural gas, but coal, oil, and other fuels from Russia impact the global market. So those have been and had an impact on our current food situation. Fuel is needed both to harvest crops, grain all over the world, but it's also needed to make fertilizer. And Russia and Ukraine are both major producers also of potash and nitrogen for fertilizers. So those are components that the Russia-Ukraine war are having an impact on. However, the biggest impacts on our food prices, our food shortages, and the potential for famine here in the United States as well as around the world come from a number of other things, which we catalog in our articles. First of all, what we're seeing now with regard to food shortages and high prices goes back 2 years to the COVID lockdowns. The COVID lockdowns devastated our farms and our main food processing. During the COVID, we had lockdowns. We saw here in the United States, farmers destroy millions, tens of millions of birds, chickens, turkeys, ducks, meat birds, and egg-laying birds, and millions. That had a definite impact. For one, it took out a lot of food out of the food chain, so that consumers didn't have it. Supply and demand, that makes the prices go up. But secondly, it destroyed a large number of farmers, particularly the smaller and medium-sized family farms, individually owned farms, not the megacorp agribusiness. But it destroyed a lot of them. That hasn't been rebuilt. Those farmers haven't come back. The ones who survived have now been hit with a second wave. This time, not from that first wave under COVID. The birds had to be destroyed because, with the lockdowns, farmers couldn't get work. They couldn't get fuel to get their meat and eggs to market. They couldn't get fertilizer. They couldn't get feed. So they ended up just having to kill them and dispose of them. This second wave now has come about since the beginning of the year, in February and March, basically. Close to 30 million birds, mostly chickens, but also turkeys, ducks, etc., have had to be destroyed because of a different virus impact. This one directly, the avian flu, again out of China, and this has wiped out many more farmers, and that's one of the reasons why we first saw the effects of this in the pet food. Cat and dog food is largely made up of chickens, so that was the first place that we saw it. We've seen now the price of chicken, the price of eggs, skyrocketing. And that is one of the direct impacts on it, where we actually have the destruction of the birds because of the flu. Actually, they weren't killed by the flu. They were deemed by the Department of Agriculture, whether accurately or not, to be infected with the avian flu. And so they ordered all these flocks destroyed. We're going to be feeling the impact of that for a long time. On top of that, of course, we've already kind of touched on the fuel prices. Well, the Russia impact on that has been significant, but the vast majority of what we're experiencing comes about from the Biden administration. First day in office, what did he do? Well, first day he bragged about it. First thing he did was sign to stop the Keystone XL pipeline, which was the most ecologically friendly and important part of our current energy development program. But he went beyond that and also shut down federal leases, the ANWR in Alaska, offshore oil and gas. So he did everything possible to make fossil fuels, all of our hydrocarbon fuels, unavailable. And that has caused prices to dramatically spike across the board.
Of course, that's a hugely important point, Bill, because during the Trump administration, we had reached a point after many decades of becoming energy independent, specifically where we no longer needed to have foreign sources for the oil that we use. And that was quickly changed under the Biden administration. But can you think of other examples? For example, I know that during the Roosevelt administration, back in the 1930s, that administration actually ordered crops to be destroyed. Are we beginning to see that kind of thing?
Well, that's a very very much a likelihood that we will see that again. Again, this came about because in the Roosevelt administration, central planning, government central planning from the top on down, on everything was the order of the day. Of course, it was unconstitutional. The federal government has no authority to come in and order crops destroyed. In this particular case, with the Roosevelt administration, it wasn't because of disease or anything, but they said that in order to make prices come up because farmers weren't getting the prices they needed for things that had to be destroyed. And both of my parents lived on farms, and they had the Blue Eagle feds come in and order them. They had to get rid of all it. They could keep one hog, one boar, one sow. All the rest had to be killed, had to be buried, and they supervised it. Same with all of their crops. And so the Biden administration hasn't gone there yet, but they are pushing us there with a number of other things that we go into. The federal water policy is making it almost impossible for farmers to survive, particularly in the western states where it's drier. The arid western states, especially California and Oregon, and Arizona, where most of our produce is grown for the country, our fruits and vegetables, and many other crops, our nut crops, avocados, things of that nature. The government has ordered the water to be taken away from the farmers and given to the Delta smelt, which is a little fish that is of dubious value, and the round-nosed sucker fish and various other fish. So the appeal
Bill, but just sticking with what you pointed out regarding the water, that seems to be the same thing. I mean, maybe it's not as blatant as it was in the Roosevelt administration, but if farmers are denied the water that they need for their crops, that means those crops are not going to be grown and cultivated. Isn't that effectively the government destroying those crops?
Well, yes, and in fact, many of them have actually been cultivated, have been sown, mm-hmm. and then come up. If they don't have water, they die. And if the plants die, there's no food from them. And if there's no food from them, then all the rest of the population that lives in the cities isn't going to have any food. So okay. It's of dire consequence to everyone. And in addition to that, the federal government is paying farmers not to farm. So we have a couple million acres of farmland that is being held out because the government says this has to be put into conservation for wetlands or various other things. And so right now, when we desperately need the foods, it's first of all, constitutionally, those programs shouldn't be in place anyway. But particularly now, when we're reaching a very desperate time, that program should be eliminated.
Let's talk for a moment about the baby formula crisis. To what extent is government involved with that?
Well, the most obvious factor is the decision by the Food and Drug Administration to close down the Abbott Laboratory in Sturgis, Michigan. It's the largest baby formula plant in the nation, and a number of different brands, major brands that of baby formula are produced there. And from what we know thus far, in February, when there's two major problems with what happened. The federal government came in and shut down the lab, claiming there was contamination, and they have based that on four cases of babies becoming sick, two that supposedly died. We don't have confirmation on any of this yet, any of those basic facts. But obviously, if there is contamination and babies are getting sick, then you don't want that to happen. But According to Abbott Laboratories, they have not been provided any proof that their formulas or any things that were came out of their plants were responsible for any of this. And so there's still a big question about why the federal government went into this. And then secondly, if they determined that this was the case, that they had to shut it down, why did they do nothing to redirect products from other places so that moms and dads wouldn't have to be desperately running all over the country trying to find food to feed their babies? Because that's a pretty serious thing when your baby is hungry and you don't have any formula for it, particularly if the mother can't nurse. So that's a very serious thing. I mean, that could mean death for babies, based solely on the alleged deaths that haven't been confirmed yet.
In your article, Bill, Feast the Famine, and there is a question mark there, but that article is, well as another one you wrote in the same issue, having to do with Bill Gates and Davos, the Davos elites pushing for global food control. You make a very compelling case that this whole thing is manufactured, that this is a crisis being created by government. We don't have time to go into that right now, but just as a final question, what can the American people do about this coming crisis? And of course, it is somewhat of a crisis today, but obviously it's going to get a lot worse, and famine could even be in the United States if we don't have a change in policy. What can be done?
Well, first of all, what every American can do now and should be doing, I mean, it's in most parts of the world where people are not surrounded with a surfeit of food, they try to store up food because so that when bad times come, they're not in dire straits. So virtually all Americans have multiple televisions and electronic devices and PlayStations and all kinds of things that are really not necessities. Think about it. You need water, you need food. So you need to take care of your families. If you have a few weeks or a few months supply of food on hand, and that's doable for every family if they take rational, reasonable steps and build up canned foods and dry foods and whatnot, then they will have the, as well as packaged foods that are already pre-prepared. Then they won't have to worry about a short-term disruption of the food supply. And when we take those responsible actions, then we are not going to be panicked when a shortage comes, and we're not going to be vulnerable to starving, but we're not going to be vulnerable to being completely dependent upon the government, which then makes us very susceptible to tyranny. If the government controls your food and they ration it to you, they can ration it to you on the basis of you being totally compliant with everything they want you to do. So that's the personal level that I think all Americans need to take. Secondly, as we've always been advocating, become educated on these issues, read these articles in the New American Magazine, and then, since we are a constitutional republic, contact your legislatures at the state level, your legislators at the national level, and make them responsible to us on these issues.
Thank you very much, Bill. And for our viewers, we encourage everyone to read the articles by Bill Jasper as well as related articles in the upcoming June 13 issue of the New American Magazine. And there is a link to that issue where you can order it in the description for this video. Thank you.